Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation. Recorded live during the May 2017 Youth Education Conference, held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I was able to speak earlier about the first three of the seven habits of highly successful teens, that book by Sean Covey, and that was fun. And I'm excited now to be able to speak with you again. When they asked me to speak here at the conference, they asked me what topics I might like to speak on, and this was my first that I offered. As Miss Utah, I was able to go around. I spoke often. I made about 400 appearances, whether media appearances or public speaking appearances within that year. And if I was speaking to like a church setting, then I would usually talk about this, about confidence, finding success and happiness through confidence, especially with confident in your religion. If I was speaking in a public school setting, it was usually about internet and cell phone safety and how to safeguard yourself against that. So this was my first topic. So they said, yes, let's have you do that. And also, could you speak on Stephen Covey's book? And I said, sure. I mean, I've never read it, but sure, I'll read it and then I'll speak on it. So I wrote my speech first, and then I read his book, and then wrote that speech. There are some similarities, so don't get afraid that there are some slight similarities, but in the end, the content and how we get to that location is very different. But I want you to be aware that I know they're a little bit similar. We talk about goal setting in both. It wasn't too long ago that I was in your shoes. When I was a teenager, I remember when I was younger, so I was tall and skinny, and my friends always would call me Lurpy. And they actually, this is like what they said I looked like as a teenager. Every single person said I looked like that. When Star Wars came out and that lady walked in the room like this, I don't know if you've seen Star Wars, they all said that was what I looked like. That was very kind of my friends. So I guess they meant it in the best way. I'm not quite sure. So my teenage years were probably like most of our teenage years. We're just trying to figure out who we are physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We're all figuring it out. Maybe I'm still a teenager because we're still figuring it out. So we all get to figure out, you know, who we are. That's part of growing up. In that state of emotional and physical and spiritual development, how to get to the end process, how to be able to someday or now find success and happiness. And so that's what I want to speak to you about today, is that doesn't have to be when you're an adult that you'll be successful and happy. Today, we get to start being successful and happy. I created these 5 points that will help us get to that end goal of success and happiness. And the points are 5 points. Don't let others influence your happiness and your actions. Know your values, set goals, have confidence, and work hard. So we'll kind of go through all of these. But the first one is about not letting others influence your happiness and your actions. There's a story. When I was about 13 years old, I had a friend that was a really good friend of mine. We were best friends. But then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but she didn't like me anymore. She had a new group of friends, and then she became my worst, not my enemy, but persecutor, because I liked her still. But for some reason, she didn't love me. And she had this new game with her new group of friends where after lunch, they would gather all the napkins and all of the straws that they could get from lunch. And I put a picture of the lockers here because this is what my middle school locker looked like. And they would stuff napkins and straws through the breathing holes of my locker. Really nice, wasn't it? It's funny now, actually, but it wasn't funny then. They'd stuff it through the locker, and so whenever I would get done with lunch and I'd open up my locker, out fill napkins and straws. And it happened every single time, and I'll take questions right at the end. So I know it's hard to remember, but I'll take it right at the end. That was what was happening during middle school. As if my middle school years weren't, I wasn't confident enough because of what was happening to me during middle school, I get into high school, and I had a sister that's 2.5 years older than me, and it seemed like everything that she ever touched just turned to gold. She was just really good at everything she did. There's 7 kids in my family, so I'm the youngest of 7, and my sister's 2.5 years older than me. And so my other siblings were already out of the house. In high school, she was a great singer, a great dancer, a great pianist, a great violinist. She's just really good at what she did, and she was on all of these different things in leadership roles. I always compared myself to her. I know I shouldn't have, but I compared myself to her, and she was way better at piano than I was, so I kind of just let that be her thing. I played the flute, she played violin, so that was fine. But I did love dancing, and I know she did too. And we had our high school dance team was highly competitive, and so I tried out for the dance team. There were 15 of us my freshman year that tried out, or actually, 25 that tried out, 15 that made the team. So that comprised half of the team. There was a ton of us newcomers. So when it came time for competition season, in order to make the dance team, in order to even perform, there were three different types of dances. And in order to perform in any one of those routines, you had to try out for every single dance. So there were about six competitions in the season, and you had to try out three times, six different times. And so my sister, her freshman year, tried out, and she made every single dance, every single competition. So she was always performing, and that meant she was a really strong, good dancer. So my freshman year, I try out. I made what was called a split spot. I was lucky enough to even make a spot, I guess, but it was a split spot. So I wasn't good enough to have my own spot. It just meant that I performed either during the basketball game and then another girl performed in my exact same spot for the competition or vice versa. And so it was already hanging over my head that I was like not quite as good as my sister yet again in my life. I allowed this competitiveness and this feeling of inferiority to kind of lead my decisions. And we'll get back to that competitiveness and inferiority. Now, I don't know if any of you have siblings. You probably are a lot better than me, but it's hard not to be competitive or who's better at piano or who's better at dancing or who's better at reading, you know, even if you guys are 2 years apart. But I needed to keep everything into perspective, that she was 2 years older than me and she had two more years to get there. So one thing that I was choosing to do because I felt inferior was that I just decided to just stop trying. If I just couldn't be as good as her, then I would just pretend like I wasn't even trying so that I wasn't failing. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the Church Educational Program for Youth, Seminary. Anyone who isn't, it's the LDS Church's educational program for teenagers. In seminary, what we had, I've heard that they've changed a little bit, but each time if you're studying the New Testament, you have 25 scripture masteries. Old Testament, 25 scripture masteries. So in the end, there's 100 scripture masteries you learn over the years. This is how it was when I was there. What our seminary teacher encouraged us to do was to memorize all 100 scripture masteries every single year, so that by the time that we graduated, we had all of them just committed to our heart. And so my freshman year, I tried to start memorizing them, and so did my sister. And then at the end of the year, I had like only 20 or 25 left, and so did she. Well, a week later, she passed them all off, and I still had 4 more weeks till the end of the school year, and I just decided to pretend like I wasn't going to actually do them because I felt inferior that she'd already passed them off, and I didn't even know if I would actually make it because I had to memorize Joseph Smith history, like that 5 verses, and so I was like, I give up. I'm not trying anymore. And so I just tell all my friends, oh, I'm not memorizing the scripture masteries. That's just for like losers. I'm not going to memorize them. So I was pretending like I didn't want to do it because I felt inferior. So I can tell you now, and Tyson can attest to this, my husband, that my sister is like my best friend. Literally, she's my best friend. We are best friends now. We talk all the time, and I just love her to death. So she would laugh. She would sit right here, and I'd say the same thing, and she'd laugh at this story. But what I did in high school is I allowed jealousy and inferiority to change my opinions and my beliefs. And a seminary teacher of mine that I had, when he asked me why I wasn't memorizing all these scripture masteries, and I told him, I just don't want to. And he was like, I'm not sure like that's the reason. He kind of knew why I was not wanting to memorize them. He gave me this quote that I want to share with you, and I'm pretty sure it's in your handout. And I'm going to read the whole thing. Sorry it's long, but I love it. I hope this quote will mean as much to you as it did to me. It's called The Man in the Arena by Theodore Roosevelt. It's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly and who errs, who comes off short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. So I really loved that. I thought, you know, at least I'm trying. Okay, so what if I didn't memorize all 100 scripture masteries? At least I memorized 98. And that's a lot better than only the 75 that I chose to memorize, right? So he was telling me that, you know, in life, there's going to be a million people you can compare yourself to. Your sister's going to graduate, and you'll find someone else to compare yourself to. Or you'll find someone else who's going to make you feel inferior. But you need to choose to get in that arena And yeah, you're going to fail, because everyone who tries is going to fail a little bit, but at least you fail triumphantly, and you know victory and success. So I really loved that quote. That is my first rule that we're going to focus on, is don't let others influence your happiness. I love Despicable Me. Right? She has a unicorn. She doesn't care. It's so fluffy. I love it. I love it. So decide what you're going to do that makes you happy. My sister Tasha graduated. I heard this quote, and it was a new leaf for me. So I chose to do whatever did make me happy. And so I stayed on drill team because that made me happy. And then I chose to join show choir, something that I was afraid to do because my sister was the singer. But I like doing it. I'm not as strong as her, but I enjoyed it. So I joined show choir, and I continue to do things that I enjoyed, regardless of if she enjoyed them or not. I just took her influencing my decisions out of the equation, and I did what made me happy. By the time that I was a senior, because I chose not to let anyone influence my decision, I was able to reach the goals that I was wanting to reach. I was able to become an all-state dancer. I was able to be on the seminary council. I was able to be like the show choir choreographer, whatever I wanted to do. In the end, I all of a sudden had no limits. So we're going to come back to my high school years in a minute. So I think we all know step number one. And I think we all come prey to this, where we compare ourselves to others and we let other people tell us that we can or can't do something. So that's the first step. In finding your happiness, it's very hard, but you've got to just put a box around yourself and be kind to everyone. Don't be mad at them if they have an opinion, but don't let it influence you. You just do what makes you happy, and you have to be confident with that. Okay, step number two is know your values. I'm now gonna go back into when I did pageants. So I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with the Miss America program. It's a scholarship program. In it, you have to do a talent, you have to have a platform, meaning what you'll do to give back to the community. Mine was internet and cell phone safety, so I spoke about this to teenagers and adults and children. You do an interview, so you have to know current events, questions about your platform, and then you do some modeling. And in the end, you get scholarship money that only will go to a university. I grew up in a small town in Manti, Utah. My sisters did do Miss Manti, and I wasn't letting their choice influence mine, but I did not want to do pageants. It was something that I was not interested in. But after having someone constantly prod me, like, you should do it, it'll be good for you, it'll be really good, you could, if you're the queen, then you could do a good platform in the community. So I ended up doing it. Well, I ended up getting first attendance, so I didn't win. So I'm like the one sister in my family who wasn't Miss Manti. And so I didn't win that. I felt a little bit embarrassed. Oh, well, I kind of just thought maybe I just would because my sister's won. So being first attendant, you had to go on to Miss Stampede, our county, to the county pageant. So I went on to that pageant and I thought, well, you know what, this time I'm going to try to be better. I don't want to embarrass myself. So I want to know how I could do a little bit better. And so I went to this pageant coach who unofficially would help girls with their interviews. And his name was Ivo Peterson. And I sat down there, I think I was 17 years old. I sat down in his office desk at work and I was like, my mom told me I was supposed to show up here at this time. Like, I don't know how you're going to help me. What are you going to help me with? And he said, well, why don't we just start by me asking you a couple of questions? Okay, what's your favorite color and why? I was like, I don't know. Red. Well, why? Why would I know why I don't know. It looks pretty. I like wearing it. Like, I don't know why. And then he started asking me harder questions. And we soon found out that I didn't know how to answer any single question because I didn't know or hadn't taken time to think about the whys behind anything that I believed in. So he told me to create a values book. And I put this values book here. I actually had to recreate a new one because mine that I created a decade ago is in my parents' house in Manti, and they're not available to mail it to me. So I created another one. In this values book, he told me to create a values book, and this is what he said. Now imagine, and maybe many of you have heard this analogy. So the analogy was always used with the Twin Towers, and since 9/11, they no longer exist. But imagine that you're between two very tall skyscraper buildings, and your value is on the other side, and there was a ladder between the two buildings. Your values are whatever you'd be willing to cross that ladder at the top of the two skyscrapers for, whatever you'd be willing to cross that ladder for. So like an immediate answer would be family, right? If your sister was on the other side of that tower and it was life or death and you had to cross that ladder to get to her, of course, you'd cross that ladder as fast as you could to get to her. Or another value might be your religion. If it was standing up for your religion and whether keeping the religion in existence or not, you would cross that ladder for that religion. What are some of your values? So he said to start with just five. He told me to do five, but you could do 5 to 10. Don't do too many because They're your core values. You don't want to forget them. I started with just five values. That was the first step. And then he said, not only do you write the values, the name of the values, so whether it's family, religion, education, but then you write a paragraph description of each value. And then on top of that, you write a picture. So I'll kind of just show you just a little bit. I know it might be hard to see, but so I wrote charity, and then I wrote a paragraph, and then I had a picture that means something to me about charity. Family, I wrote a paragraph, something that means something to me. So these are like my core values that are important to me. So it took me an entire month to create the book. And then when I came back to the interview, it was miraculous. I was able to finally answer all of his questions, any question that he threw my way. So I want to give you first an example. Here's something that's in my current book. So charity is one of my values and hard work is one of my values. So I'll read a little bit of each. My description was charity is more than love. It's a pure love. It's loving ourselves and others despite and amidst our differences and treating them the way that we'd like to be treated. So I'll just stop there. Okay, now hard work. Hard work is very important to me. This is a picture of my father and his father. My dad is a welder and his father is a welder. And my grandpa in the picture taught at Idaho State University and kind of made their welding program flourish. So he was one of their department heads. And now three of my brothers are welders and own my dad's company. To be a welder, you have to like lift 100 pounds of these argon tanks and you have to be lifting up steel, and it's physical labor and a lot of crazy hours and hard work. I like to think of my dad and my late grandpa in this picture. So hard work is a principle that will help you achieve our goals and feel confident about ourselves. We are the product of our own choices. Without choosing to push ourselves to accomplish difficult things, we'll find ourselves not only settling in life, but also being dependent on others when it could have been avoided. These are my two principles. So this is why I'm telling you this. If someone asked you a question, any question, if you knew enough about the content of what they're asking you and you know your values, you will be able to answer any question that comes your way. I want to give you an example, and I'm going to read it because I wrote down this question. So let's say someone came up to you, and by the way, I'm going to give you a political question and an answer from Kayla. This is in no way displaying that you have to believe the same thing I do. What I love about America is we all have very, very different beliefs, but I'm showing you how you can answer a question, and this is to my beliefs, and it's 100% okay if you 100% disagree with how I answer this question, but I want you to know how you would answer the question. Okay, so what if someone came up to me and said, do you agree with President Trump trying to deport all of the illegal immigrants? Okay, that's a very tricky, emotionally charged question, right? Every person's going to have an emotional response to that question because you either have a neighbor or a family member or a friend that this directly affects. And we all have maybe opinions that you hear from your parents. What are your opinions? So let me tell you how I used these two values of charity and hard work to answer the question. And I'll try to answer it without looking at my notes and hopefully I get it right. But if someone asked me that question, I'd say, well, my answer is yes and no. To start, I believe in hard work. I believe that, and I would say parts of this quote, I believe that we are the products of our own choices. If we choose to push ourselves, we'll be able to find that we're not only settling in life, but we're also not being dependent on others. And part of keeping America great is not being dependent on others and having self-independence and working hard. And so hard work is important to me. At the same time, I believe in charity. It's a love more than a pure love. It's loving ourselves and others despite our differences. So there also needs to be love because these people are coming here for a better stage of life and we need to recognize what their emotions are and what they're going through. So I feel like there needs to be a mixture. We need to be able to allow them to come to the country and to be able to gain citizenship so they can be contributing citizens and work hard for the whole of America. And we need to help them do that through love and support and make it as affordable and easy as possible. So that would be my answer. I'm not sure my answer is perfect, but I'm giving you an example of how if someone throws you any difficult question, why do you homeschool? Bam, throw out your two values. So this is why I do, because I believe in this value and I believe in this value. Or maybe it's just one value. But you already have a canned response. If you memorize your paragraph, then you have an easy response on any difficult question. So that's why one of my challenges in that book is to go home and write your own values book. It takes time. Luckily, this was my second one, so I was able to write it in an hour. But my first one took me like a month. I don't know how much time, but it took me over a month's period of time. But this values book is golden to me. The other paragraphs I had memorized so well, I was able to incorporate most of them in here. And that was 10 years ago. Memorize your values and it will become who you are. We are going to go to the next one, which is setting goals. My favorite quote is, shoot for the moon, even if you fail, you'll land among the stars. Same with the first quote that I talked about. Get in the arena and at least you're trying, right? In my last speech, if many of you were there, we talked about goal setting, and maybe you were there, so you saw an analogy of you put the most important things in your pile first and then the other things you have to do. I kept using the analogy of brushing your teeth and just getting out of bed and doing your necessary things. And then after that, then you can do anything that's kind of superfluous, that just is more of time wasters, but when you need a downtime. But you do the most important things first. I don't want to spend too much time on goal setting because I know we probably are inundated with that. I want to give you just some examples of how if you do choose to goal set, then you'll be able to find that success and happiness. So when I became Miss Stampede, I knew that I'd have to start setting goals. Well, at first, I didn't want to go to Miss Utah because Miss Stampede has to compete at Miss Utah. And my sisters had competed there as Miss Manti. I didn't want to go. I went to the county chair, begged him not to make me go. He said they already paid the fee to get into Miss Utah, so I had to go. Well, I was leaving to go to BYU for school. I lived in Manti, so that's an hour and a half away. So I got to BYU. I went there for one semester and I thought, you know what? If I'm going to go to Miss Utah because I have to, then I want to do really good at something that betters other people around me. So I thought, you know what? My platform I already have. I'm going to choose to be really good at that platform and try to make a difference. And so I ended up driving once a week, an hour and a half down to Manti to speak to all of the different elementary schools and middle schools and high schools. As I was doing this, I realized this is a lot, and it was great, and I was able to hit all of the elementary schools and all of the middle schools throughout that semester at BYU, but it was hard because then I had all my studies to try to do up at BYU. Well, it ended up paying off. Summer came, and I needed to really rev up for Miss Utah, and actually it was the semester before. I decided that I was going to really set some goals. If I was going to have to go, then I wanted to be successful. So I decided that I was going to do news and interview for 2 hours every single day. So when I was driving anywhere or if I was running on the treadmill, I'd be listening to the news for an hour, so I knew the current events, and then I would take 1 hour to just kind of debrief, write down possible questions they might ask me, and possible answers, and actually understand what my opinions were about things. So I spent 2 hours every day gearing myself up to answer these current event questions. Then I also spent an hour every day exercising, trying to keep my physical health up, and then I spent 2 hours every day practicing the piano so that I could be ready for my talent. So there were major goals that were set and major goals that were kept. And it ended up paying off, and then that summer, I became Miss Utah, which was actually still a shock to me and my family, too. But in the end, if you work really hard, you'll be able to meet these goals. Miss Utah Scholarship gave me $10,000 to pay towards a university, and then going on to Miss America, through different awards, I was able to earn an additional $4,000. And then just being Miss Utah, Utah State paid for me to get my bachelor's degree. And so in the end, because of doing the pageants and winning Miss Utah, it paid for my master's degree, which I'm not really sure I would have been able to do it because I probably wouldn't have been able to afford all of that. But because I did that and set those goals, that was the outcome. I didn't know that that would be the outcome. I actually didn't know how much Miss Utah won. But it helps show you that setting goals, there are really great dividends emotionally and physically. So confidence and success. So sometimes goals can be very specific. Like my goal for the semester in the summer was strive to do well at Miss Utah. Very specific goal, very specific items that I needed to fulfill. But sometimes our goals can just be general. We can just say, I just want to strengthen myself. And there's some things in life that I want to do, whether it's a bucket list or whether it's self-development. And so I sat down my junior year of high school and I was like, what is it that I want to do? And so I wrote down a list of 5 things. I wanted to learn to play the guitar before I died. I wanted to travel outside the country, learn a new language, get my master's degree, and get married in the temple. So these goals I set down. My senior year, I found a friend that played the guitar, and I said, hey, will you teach me? I learned to play the guitar with him. And that ended up being really helpful because when I became Miss Utah, you have to travel out, and sometimes you just become on-the-moment entertainment for everyone. So it was so nice to just pull out my guitar that I couldn't pull out a piano. So I pulled out my guitar, and I played it and sang, and it was really nice that I had that. Right after Miss Utah, I went to Peru to serve a humanitarian opportunity, and I got to go to another country, which I hadn't done yet. I'm still working on learning Spanish, but I know it very little, poco a poco. And then my master's degree, I really don't know if I would have really, even with the $10,000, sought to get it if that hadn't been a goal at a very young age. I started my degree when my first child was 2 months old, and it was tricky. I mean, you can ask my husband, those were really tricky years, but it was a goal that I decided to do in my high school year, and it was now or never. I can't do it with teenagers in my home, so it was now or never. We did it, and there was a lot of blessings that came with it. The goals that you set in life can be very helpful. In the end, it helped me find confidence and it helped me find success. I'm going to go to the next step, which is confidence. Who doesn't love Maui? Oh, I love him. Our almost 5-year-old son, I love when he sings the Maui song. And he's like, I can explain every natural phenomenon, because he doesn't know the word phenomenon. I can explain every natural phenomenon. It's my favorite song. So we love Maui. In the pageant, when I started learning about the pageant world, everyone told me the winner, the person who wins, it's all based on their confidence. So 50% of this pageant is based on confidence, even though it's the unspoken grading rule. The person who walks on the stage, if they have confidence, immediately they're like, ooh, that's a winner. And then if you walk on the stage kind of sheepishly, you could play an amazing talent, but in the end, that person probably is not going to win the pageant. So you have to have a lot of confidence. One way to do that is to write adjectives. Let's see if I put it on here. Okay, so you write adjectives, positive words about yourself. So in the pageant, what he had me do is write 3 positive words right before that I would tell myself right before I played the piano. 3 different words before I went to the interview and onstage question. 3 different words when I did the modeling. So what I want to do is an exercise right now. Get out your pencils. We're going to take 1 minute and try to write as positive adjective words. So the moment you walk into your house, I want you to have 3 positive adjectives about yourself. I am a kind sibling. It could be 2 words if you need it to be. Kind sibling, or I am intelligent, or I am optimistic. Whatever you want the adjective to be about yourself. A different one for whenever you're in a team or a group setting, whether you're in a play or you're on a sports team. And a second one for when you're just hanging out with friends. So this is the setting for hanging out with friends. Write 3 adjectives. I'll let you do that right now. All right, so I wish I had more time for you to write down your adjectives. If you didn't, you can continue doing it later. I want you to practice these adjectives right now. The next thing that you go to before you walk through that door, and I'm not even teasing, I think you might think I'm joking, like synergy actually works. So I want you to tell in your mind whatever those 3 adjectives are. My husband always likes to say, I am Brad Pitt, right before he walks into like any type of interview. I think that's a good one. So I guess that makes me, well, not anymore. Angelina Jolie, but never mind. Whatever those are, if you're walking into social, I am confident, I am, and sometimes it's the things that you feel like you aren't. So I am confident, I am sociable, and I'm pretty cute, right? So you're walking into that room and you're literally repeating those words in your mind. It'd be hard to converse with anyone and be like, okay, I'm confident, I'm cute. And then you tell yourself these things and all of a sudden people are gonna feel this synergy radiating from you and they're gonna wanna come up and talk to you and you're like, oh wait, I'm typically like not the best socializer. Oh wait, I'm a socializer. How have you been today? How are you doing? Just talk about them, they'll love it. These 3 adjectives are gonna help when you wake up that morning and get ready for school that day, and it sometimes seems like drudgery, tell yourself these 3 adjectives, and all of a sudden you're gonna be able to confidently move through your works, confidently move through your goals. When you walk into that basketball court, when you're trying to play with your friends, tell yourself, I'm a point shooter, I'm a perfect defender, whatever these adjectives need to be, and all of a sudden your perception becomes your reality. And it truly does help you. It helped me every time. Anything that I've done, I use this all the time, especially in job interviews. Very, very helpful. My last theme is hard work. So in the end, we have all of these other things that I've mentioned, but we have the confidence and we're setting goals. We have to work hard. If we want to accomplish it, then we have to work hard. In my family, as I showed you the picture of my dad and my grandpa, our theme was hard work. If someone was working, then you best be working, or that would be like, you better be working is all I better say. So hard work was our theme. I want to give you 2 examples. I've been working with teenagers, and my husband works with the teenagers in our church. When I was Miss Utah, I worked a lot with teens. I've been able to work with teenagers a lot throughout the last decade, and I was a teenager a decade ago. During this time frame, I've kind of noticed, and these are 2 ends of the spectrum, but 2 types of teens. You have the one teen that is a very confident teen who chooses to, you know, set their goals. So here's an example of a real person that I know. They have high goals, and so they practice their instrument daily, they make sure to spend time with their family, they make sure to include church, they make sure to do their homework, do their schooling, everything they need to do. And before they go to bed, yes, they're exhausted, but they're so self-fulfilled, and that fed into their confidence. Now there's another teenager that I know, and they don't have as much confidence, and their goal is to try to lose weight. And so they set sticky notes all around the room, like, tomorrow will be the day that you won't eat any ice cream. And you can do it, only 2 more weeks, you can fit into this outfit. And you probably know this is a girl. So she's putting all these sticky notes everywhere, right? Well, because of her lack of confidence, at the end of the day, she hasn't met any of those goals that she set for herself. She didn't get anything accomplished that she needed to. She didn't practice the piano, didn't do the homework. Do you think her confidence is higher or lower? It's lower. And it's sad because she had these goals for herself, but because she didn't have the confidence for herself, she didn't push herself to execute those. Maybe she needed a little bit more positive adjectives in her life. So this happens to all of us, but we have to choose to work hard and to achieve those. And it's a circle. If you work hard, you'll have confidence. If you have confidence, you'll work hard. So you have to push yourself to keep fulfilling this. When we summarize these 5 points again, the other thing to remember, and the craziest part about it, is that it's all a choice. It's all based on if you're going to choose to do it or not. You can choose to let people influence your happiness, or you can choose not to. You can choose to know your values and do this book. It takes work. Or you can choose not to. Goals, have confidence, or work hard. In the end, it's your choice. So let's all just choose to take the bull by the horns and work hard. And in the end, if you implement at least one of the steps that I talked about today, you'll find yourself finding that confidence. And that confidence leads to happiness, and that confidence leads to success. So I did want to leave the last 5 minutes open for any questions anyone had. I know there was a question back here. Did you remember what your question was? It's okay if you don't. Oh, I like it, though. Let's think about this. I mean, if someone else has the answer. I just think it's maybe you had a sandwich in there. And it, I don't know. Why? Wait. Did you hear that? I've got to repeat that. That is comic relief. He says, because if you get shoved in the locker, you have to breathe. Because we don't want deaths. So it's fine to have bullying. We just don't want deaths. I love it. It's so funny. I don't know. Tyson, why do they have breathing holes?
It's so if you leave food in your locker too long, they know which locker it's
in. They know, right? That's what I was going to say. If your food's in your locker too long, I'm going
to
look that up. Books need to breathe. Yeah, does anyone else have any other questions? Any other questions? Oh, I'm sorry. I have bad eyesight. What's that? Tell me. Oh, everyone's harping on this thought. Really, it made me cry every time because I'm a girl and I'm emotional. And every single time I had to hide those tears. I had other friends that were kind to me and they'd help me clean them up and throw them away. And the friend that was being mean to me, her mom worked at the school. So I tried telling the school about it, but they said that it wasn't her. And end of story. So I know. But you know what? It made me stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? Okay, anything else? Any other questions? I wanted to show you, so I did this at the last presentation. This is my email, so if any of you do have questions, or if any of you have had the opportunity to implement some of these, or you have questions about creating the value book, and at the end, you're welcome to come look at the value book for an example. If you have questions about that, if you want to give me a success story, something that you've done, let me know. I'd love to help. And have fun today, guys. This is a really neat opportunity for y'all. Thank you.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.